Let's talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week in Survivor?
Yeah, that's right. This week in Survivor is back, and we are here with a man who is ready to go. Here he is to talk about his one-time drinking buddy who got voted out of the game this week. Here is Jordan Kalish.
How are you, Rob?
Jordan, I'm doing okay. How's everything on your end?
Pretty good. I have been social distancing all weekend. All my plans were canceled. So this is officially the most exciting thing I've done this weekend. But that's typically the case. Yeah. So that's no big deal.
Yeah, Jordan, I've been social distancing since 1997. Okay, so that yes. Let me know if you need any pointers. I've got them all.
Nothing as of yet. Luckily, Survivor is an activity that we could watch from our house.
Yes. Okay. All right. And then we're very lucky here today to have with us the great Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz. Amanda, how are you?
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on Twitch. I feel like this is a step up to the big time. Loved listening to one of the all-time great Will from America theme songs, and I'm really excited to be here and talk about something fun and silly with you guys.
Yeah, it's very excited to talk about something fun here with Survivor Winners at War, and always a pleasure to get to talk to you, Amanda.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, this was a really, really great episode to talk about, so I'm excited to get into it.
Okay. All right. Well, we have so many headlines to get into from this week, but I guess, you know, when we go back and look, we'll think about two things this week. One, this was the week that we found out that Michelle and Wendell kicked it. And then also this was the week that we saw Boston Rob voted out of the game here in Winners at War. So, Amanda, as a longtime Survivor fan, what does that mean to you to see Boston Rob voted out of the game?
Man, I mean, well, it's such a thrill to see Boston Rob come back and play. And I think that I was probably, like most of the great fans, you know, really impressed with the things that Rob was able to do. But the sort of flip side of that coin is it's also interesting to see the limits of his powers in this group yeah. of winners.
Was that the coin that he made Dean flip to get the Idol Nullifier?
I think so. Yeah, there's two sides of the coin.
One says yes, one says no.
The great DK Chillin. That was a big move that he made, the big risk he took. Yeah, so, I mean, the thing that's always fascinated me about Boston Rob is just how amazingly persuasive he is with people, how he's able to make people do things that just go against their interest, and how he's so unflinching and you know, and absolute resolute in his plans about that. And you know, it was amazing to me that he was able to get Ben and Adam just hang around the shelter all day, even though both of them clearly were really miserable about it.
Yeah, that's interesting, you know, just like him as a person, like he's not like super approachable, and he's not like somebody that you feel like that there's other people that come up to you and they're like, hey, how are you? How you doing? Like, and you feel like that you can like have like some sort of like a rapport where you can like, you know, really sort of like, you know, throw something at the wall with him. You're sort of like waiting, like he doesn't talk that loud. You sort of like have to like lean in to hear what he's saying. And then basically like he eventually tells you what he wants you to do.
Right. And it's like most people just don't feel comfortable acting that way around other people. Like, I think the thing that makes him good at Survivor is that for whatever reason, he has a high tolerance for making other people uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most of us don't. And I think like that was one of the things that was really amazing to me to watch. Like, he's great at lying. It's easy for him to throw people under the bus and to just sort of dictate what everybody's doing. And I think that that's the thing that got him really far in Redemption Island, and because people looked up to him and thought like, oh, wow, Rob is, you know, he really knows what he's doing. He has a lot of wisdom. But it was like interesting to see that even in this group, he was able to have a lot of control. Like he was able to get people to empty out their bags. He was able to get people to sit around in the playpen all day. But even despite all that, you know, these people were, they were too good players to actually, at the end of the day, follow through with his plans. But it was just, so it was interesting to see both how good he is at what he does and what the limit is of what he can do.
Yeah. Jordan, do you have any thoughts on Boston Rob, the 5-time Survivor player, now voted out of the game?
I think we see this sometimes in Survivor seasons. When you go from a large tribe to now 3 very small tribes, it's hard to hide. And I think no matter what swap situation Boston Rob got himself in, he was on the only tribe in which his original cellite group had the majority, and he still was the first one voted off of that tribe. So I think if you are going to play, you know, if you're Boston Rob and you're going to play the typical Boston Rob game, which he has every single time, of essentially, you know, leading with fear, trying to get people to bend to your will, and it's something that has worked for him great twice, and it's something that hasn't worked for him as well 3 times now. It's a very boomer bust game. It's going to be tough to survive once you get to a 5-person tribe. Yeah. So yeah. I'm not surprised he got voted out here. I think the fact that he had 2 people from his original tribe who really had no reason to trust him, plus 2 people in Sophie and Sarah who were close from their original tribe, to me, it makes sense that he was the one voted out. And it's interesting that even with, even when he tried to employ the buddy system this time around, that plan must have gotten locked in so early that he didn't even have a chance to really corral his people. And I think when he shut down the strategy talk on his tribe, he basically locked in his own vote. So I don't think there was anything he could have done to turn it around. But it was once he employed the buddy system, it was already too late.
You know, Amanda, when we look back at Boston Rob this season, I just keep going back to, was the original sin this season for Boston Rob that it seemed like that Adam was the obvious vote for that first tribal council that they went to where he had gone on? It seemed like there was a consensus. Jeremy and Natalie and Michelle were on board. Adam or Denise, what do you want to do? And it seemed like that his side ended up feeling like, no, the right move is to split up Jeremy and Natalie, and where it seemed like that Rob even had some sort of a relationship with Jeremy. Jeremy wanted to work with Rob. Why at that point on day 2 did Rob feel like that this was the better move to get rid of Natalie? Or do you feel like that wasn't his move and maybe we just got shown like he had more agency in what the tribe decided to do at that first vote?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I've been thinking about watching this season. I think that Adam is a really dangerous player for Boston Rob's type of game. They almost kind of play the exact opposite way, whereas, you know, Rob likes to lock down a group and keep everybody working in lockstep. I think that Adam is shown to likes to reach out, make different relationships. He might betray you, but he still wants to work with you. That kind of thinking is just, you know, doesn't work in the way that Rob likes to dominate a game. So I think that having Adam around at this point is really bad for Rob. I think that, you know, this was a particularly bad group for him to end up with. And I think he probably would have been better off if Natalie were still in the game, especially given that Rob has some connection to Jeremy. And you've got to think that there would have been some connective tissue there.
Yeah, Jordan, do you think that potentially then this had nothing to do or not as much to do with Rob and Parvati? You know, they had that great scene in the first episode. Like, do we have to play the game for everybody here? But is it possible that it was just the group of Adam, Denise, and Ben and Ethan and Danny that really came to a decision about how that they were wanted to break up Jeremy and Natalie?
I mean, I think it's hard to tell. I mean, I'm from Rob's point of view, I sort of penciled him and Rob as 2 people who I thought that Rob and Jeremy would have been two people who could work well together at the start of the game, because Jeremy's also coming in with such a big target. He and Natalie come in together as a pair is such a big target because everyone knows they're going to want to play together. And Rob, of course, has that with Amber on the other tribe. So I do think that even with Rob being so weakened at a sort of a weakened state in the game, because he lost his biggest allies from his tribe. He lost his biggest ally in Ethan. From the other tribe, he lost Tyson and Amber, who were the other two people you would assume want to work with him. So I do think that his best chance maybe off the bat was to try to align with Jeremy and Natalie, because if you have the two of them in the game as two very smart players, two very physical players, two very social players, that can maybe be a shield for Rob and maybe even Parvati as well, I think that could have been beneficial for him. But now he gets into the spot on his new tribe where he has, you know, Adam and Ben, who are, like Amanda said, very, very different players from Boston Rob. And I think when it even comes to, you know, when you're looking at Adam and Ben's decision to turn on Boston Rob this week, and not really turn on him because they weren't really aligned with him, but to vote him out this week, I think one of them ended up, I think, I don't know who between Adam and Ben, I think one of them made a very good move, and I think one of them made a very bad move, because if they go to tribal council again, you got to assume that Sophie and Sarah are sticking together, and whoever they trust more between Ben and Adam is going to stick around, and the other one's going to be voted out. And I think we'll find that out the next
Amanda,
time that Yara
so this
goes
is
to
an
tribal
interesting
council.
Question, and you know, I heard this come up on the B&B with Allie Lasher, who's always great on the B&B. She was talking with Mike and Liana about how, do you feel like that this move was made independently of one another? So it was a bit of a prisoner's dilemma for Ben and for Adam to some degree of, like, basically, you know, could they operate together and maybe they could potentially have something better going on in the next round? Or did each of them independently sell the other one out to say, hey, okay, I'll be the third and vote with the two of you at this tribal council, and then both end up ratting each other out in this prisoner's dilemma?
Oh, I love that. I didn't even think of that. That's great. I got to listen to the B&B and catch up on that. I think I sort of get the feeling. I mean, we don't see it. We don't see the two of them confer at any point and say, yeah, we're going to turn on Rob. But I almost think that they must have. I mean, they didn't seem surprise, but that's an excellent point. I mean, it's definitely a better move, right? If you think that you're the one that's flipping, because then you're in a new three. But if both of you are flipping, right, then obviously one of you is going to be next. So it would be really interesting to know what Ben and Adam each independently think they're in is in that group. From what we saw, it looked like Ben felt like, you know, that Ben was the one who was sort of paired off with Sarah, and maybe that's the group. Maybe he thinks that that's his in. It looked like Sophie was the one who was in with Adam. So, I mean, I can see both of these players wanting to get Rob out just from a sort of personal comfort level, because they probably feel like it opens up options from them. But clearly, it's a bad move for one of them, right? Because if that tribe goes back to tribal council, you've got to think that it's either Ben or Adam who's going out.
Jordan, do you think that Ben and Adam were on the same page, both moving to join Sarah and Sophie, or do you think that they moved independently of one another?
I mean, it's hard for me to imagine that they didn't both talk about it. I think that we've seen Adam in a 5-person tribe flip on his original group.
Yes.
But that was a much different situation where you had Figgy and Taylor who were, you know, they were kicking it out there.
I don't think they ever kicked it out there.
Even though Adam and Ben, you know, Ben has had some issues this season trusting Adam for obvious reasons, but they do have a relationship before the game. And I know we've joked around and called it the Twitch Alliance, but I mean, they've definitely had, you know, multiple in-person interactions before going out to Survivor. So I would guess that they sort of maybe reconvened before that vote. And I also think that both of them think that they're the three with Sophie and Sarah. And that's why I think it's going to be very interesting if that tribe goes to tribal again. But even if Sophie and Sarah think that Adam and Ben are voting together, it doesn't really matter because Sarah has the vote steal. And if she doesn't feel good about the two of them, she could take one of their votes and get rid of whoever they want.
So if that's the case, then is this then, did Adam make the wrong move, Amanda? Because it's that Ben has the tighter relationship with Sarah and Sarah has the vote steal, unless Sophie's willing to play the idol and then save Adam, and I know that could potentially end up in a rock draw for her, then doesn't Sarah make the call? The tie goes to Sarah?
Well but I mean, I don't know if Sarah would, would want to stick her neck out to save either of these guys at this point. But I guess that she does have that card to play. It's hard to know whether, like, it's hard to know what these relationships are, right? We saw like one scene of Sarah and Ben and one scene of Sophie and Adam. I mean, it doesn't seem like they had a lot of time to make connections. So I don't really know who they feel good about. I've got to think that they would probably use some other information that they know about who they think they can work with in the game. I don't know. Who do you think would be the better, if you're in Sophie and Sarah's position, who would you rather keep around?
So I just feel like that while Sophie probably has the better relationship with Adam, that I think that Sophie probably wants the predictability. And I think that Sophie probably feels like, okay, well, Ben is a reliable number and I sort of know what he's going to do. And I feel like that while he may go out and find the idol, that he might be a little bit more limited in terms of the relationships that he can go out there and make. Whereas that Adam has this reputation of going around and talking to everybody. And even though Ben gets described as the wild card, I feel like that Adam is more of the true wild card in the game and probably the more unstable element that Sophie doesn't really want to play with.
Right. And I go back to what's been said, I think, in interviews before when you've talked to Hannah. Like, Adam seems like a great guy if you're in the other alliance, because he's going to keep that line of communication open and potentially work with you, but a terrible ally.
Right.
So I can definitely see the wisdom in wanting to keep Ben around if you're in Sophie and Sarah's position.
And Sophie plays an old school game. I mean, she was born out of the Upulu tribe and then was part of like this big group that never flipped, that, you know, what they ended up doing, they got Cochran from the other side to flip. And so she was very keenly aware of what happens when you end up, you know, flipping from one side to the other. It seems like Sophie wants to make a big alliance, target all of the threats that are on the other alliance, and then ride that as far as she can go.
I mean, the counterpoint to that, though, I mean, Adam, first of all, he is someone who has gone to rocks for an ally before. So he is someone who I think can work with a big group, even though it's not necessarily his game. But also, if, you know, you don't know if they're going to believe, if Sophie and Sarah are going to believe Adam or not. But if Adam tells the group, if Adam tells the two of them, look, Ben is part of this bigger group with Jeremy, Denise, and Michelle, you know, I'm more of a free agent than Ben. They might see that as an attractive option, and they think that maybe Adam would be the better number going forward because he's not going to just go back to the old Selle people. Adam doesn't really have anyone to go back to from that tribe. So I think it's possible that they might see Adam as the better ally.
Right. I mean, I can see from Sophie's perspective, I mean, Sophie definitely has this self-restraint as a game player to not get too cute. I can almost see Adam as being a little bit more in the Albert mold of mm-hmm. being the kind of ally who's a little itchy to make a big move or wants to switch things up. And I think that Sophie definitely is somebody who values that predictability. She also doesn't need a new kind of number one. She doesn't need to add to the brain trust. She has Yule. So I don't know if Adam's value to Sophie right now is particularly high. And it might be the case of keeping Ben around because he's going to possibly be a little bit more predictable. I also think there's something about him as a player that might be less threatening. People probably think they could make a good case against him if they get to the end. So I think that if I was in their position, I might be looking at Ben as the person that I'd more like to keep around.
Yeah, Amanda, Ben is like the Rancher Rick if we're rebuilding the Sapolu alliance. So I think it was actually interesting that we saw Sophie working so well with Sarah. I feel like that we've never really seen Sophie collaborate with a female ally before. It feels like that going back to everything that was going on at Apollo, like who her alliance was. Yeah, Edna was there, but Edna was sort of more like a coach's person. But her allies were, you know, Coach and Albert and Rick and Brandon Hance in that group, and even people like Cochran. And then this alliance that she's in this season, where she's with Yule and with Nick and with Wendell. This is the first time that we've really seen Sophie have a strong female ally.
Yeah, and I absolutely loved this. And I don't think I ever would have predicted at the beginning of the season that these two women would work together, or that they would be a good match in terms of their, you know, talents and gameplay styles. But I think that seeing it in this episode come together, I was obsessed with Sophie and Sarah. I think that they're fantastic. I think they both have this level of intensity. They both bring very different skills to the game. I think that they're both good. You know, I think that they both, to see them in those scenes that were brief, they were both able to sort of draw out the information from the other side. So I think that they are, you know, they are very, they're social in this way that, you know, they're not the type of players who use their flirtation and feminine wiles to cozy up and get information, but they're very effective nonetheless. So I thought that they're a really exciting pair, and I'd like love to see them move forward in the game together. Now they both have advantages, which is really exciting. So I thought that they were it was great to see them get together in this episode.
Yeah, Amanda, it was a week of interesting female pairs now that have been brought together, where we saw the first, was it four people voted out of the game, or the first three people voted out of the game were all women. And then we now have now these of the seven women that are left in the game, you know, each tribe has an interesting female pair.
Yeah, I love this. And I mean, you have to go to Parvati and Michelle, because I think a lot of people have sort of drawn this out even in the preseason, and even going back to Ko Rong, the first time Michelle played, she said that the player that she most wanted to play like was, you know, surprise, surprise, Parvati. And now she's here on the same tribe with Parvati. And I think that it's really exciting to think about, could Parvati sort of mentor Michelle? Is this like a young Parvati that could be brought out of Michelle? I think that they're different in that I don't know if Michelle has that Black Widow gear that we've seen from Parvati, but I think it was really exciting to see in this episode maybe some of that come out, like when Michelle says, let's give the boys something to drool over. That seemed like a very Parvati-esque line. So they're a really exciting to see come together. I think that they are both players who have a lot of natural charm, that's probably their greatest strength in the game. I think that in Parvati, you see somebody who's really cunning and sometimes ruthless in the way that she deploys that charm. I heard what the Mayo Jar had to say about Michelle, and I take it he doesn't have a lot of faith in Michelle's strategic use of her social game, but I think that she probably is able to do that to a greater extent than he gives her credit for.
Yeah. No, it was hard to tell exactly what the Mayo Jar was exactly saying. That it was hard to tell like where he was kidding and where he was being serious.
Yeah, it's a very deep jar. There's lots of layers.
Yes. lots of layers. Very, you need to shake that mayo.
It's more of an aioli than a mayo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you're someone who's rooting for the Michelle Parvati partnership to keep going, I think the fact that Boston Rob got voted out is something that could bring them even closer together, because Michelle, I'm sure, has reservations about Parvati because on the previous tribe they were on different sides. But now she might see Parvati and say, look, what other options does she have? All of her allies have been voted out. Maybe I could be her ally. And even though I think Parvati might be in, I think she is in huge trouble if the new Cele tribe were to lose, it's just hard for me to see that tribe losing. Like, I think she's screwed if they go to tribal, but I just, that's such a strong tribe athletically, and I don't know if they're going to end up even going to tribal council as a group. So that they might, you know, the longer they're living together without having to vote, the closer they're going to probably get.
So, Amanda, I wanted to ask you about the Michelle and Wendell of it all. As one of the nation's top Wendell super fans, of course, your castmate from Survivor Philadelphia. Well, what did you make about this reunion between Wendell and Michelle? Is it much ado about nothing?
Well, I'll say, I mean, I've had the extreme privilege and pleasure to get to spend some time with Wendell. And I chose him as my preseason winner pick extremely confidently, because I think he's got a lot of charm and a lot of poise, and he really can keep cool under lots of situations. I think he's got one of these magnetic personalities. But I have to say that what we saw of Wendell on Wednesday night, it was definitely the least smooth Wendell that I've ever seen on or off screen.
That includes Survivor Philadelphia also, in any of his seasons.
Yeah, in any of his seasons. Obviously, we all think of Survivor Philadelphia when we think of Wendell, but he was also on Ghost Island, and he did very well there.
He was also on Ghost Island?
It was Ghost. Yeah. So, I mean, this was not a great look for Wendell. I thought that this was, I don't know if we'll get, I'm sure we'll get to the social media, aftershocks of this. But, you know, you've got to think that you know that your ex is on the season with you. You know that you're likely to end up on a tribe together at some point. And I was really unimpressed with the way that Wendell handled this initial, reuniting here. I mean, I you've got to think that after all of this time preparing for it, he could have, you know, come off a little bit better.
Yeah, what do you think he was going for? Is it possible that he felt like, hey, like this is kind of like an ace in the hole in that, hey, we have this secret relationship that nobody knows about, and then maybe Michelle had revealed the relationship and that's what threw him off?
Yeah, I mean, it seems as though the message that he was trying to send to her was that, you know, I'm going to keep my distance from you. I don't want to draw attention to the fact that we have this pre-existing relationship. But, I think that he probably should have been more aware of, you know, I think that Michelle sort of approaches it, she says like, oh, hey, Wen, look, did you ever think that we were going to be on a beach together? And she's trying to make something sort of cute and light of it, trying to invite some, you know, positive interaction so they can touch base and say, okay, it's not going to be awkward. It's going to be cool. I want to work with you. I don't think that nothing that he said was going to make her feel comfortable and okay. So I think he should have been more aware of how he was making Michelle feel and whether he was, you know, maybe making a situation more awkward than it needed to be, because that should be something that he could use. That should be a strength to have that link. But I think it's become more of a liability because of the way that it was handled.
Yeah, because it does seem like that it would be, you know, a great asset to have this relationship where, okay, at least that there is a comfort level with this person where it seemed like that it really was played like for maximum effect on the reality TV show part of it. So I really wonder, you know, just how bad things were coming into this, because it seemed like that it didn't seem like they were just like playing it up for the cameras.
Yeah. And I was really surprised. I mean, I remember seeing pictures of them together on social media.
Yeah.
I didn't know if they kicked it or if they were dating or, you know, what sort of phase of relationship. and I got the impression that they were still, you know, cool with each other, that they still, so I don't know exactly what went down. We can only speculate, and it's probably impolite to do so, even though everybody's very curious. But, you know, if I think if you have one of those relationships, you have to at least be prepared to make nice and try to, you know, put as much of it, you know, behind you for the sake of playing the game.
Well, let me go to Jordan, a veteran of many Survivor seasons that you've played out in the real world. Jordan, how have you dealt with this exact situation?
I've never been in this exact situation. I mean, the closest I've gotten to kicking it, I guess I played soccer when I was in kindergarten. But I've never, I've been in a situation before where I've had pre-game relationships, and that helped and then hurt to a certain extent. But I think, you know, when you go out and you're playing real Survivor, I kind of think it's the kind of thing that might be awkward at first. But if we see Michelle and Wendell working together going forward, if this tribe, you know, whether they only go to one tribal council, maybe vote out Parvati, or they don't go to tribal council and they end up getting swapped again or merged, I think that maybe they can still end up working together. But definitely an awkward way to start that in-game relationship.
Sure. Let me play a couple of things that I didn't get to play earlier in the week that I thought were interesting things to talk about. So going back to Jeff on the mat, after everybody, you know, got swapped, Jeff felt like that there was one person in particular that he wanted to get the take from of the impact of the switch. So he went with a person that he felt like has the most switching experience.
Sander, you've been through a lot of switches. What does this mean for the game as a whole?
So, Jordan, does Jeff Probst need you out there on the island to tell him that that of Sandra's four seasons now, only one had a swap in Game Changers?
Well, yeah, and she did swap twice in Game Changers, but I wouldn't consider two a lot.
Right. Yeah. No swap. I mean,
there's plenty of people who have been through more swaps.
Don't bring Jeff on Twitch. He's
yeah, I really don't think he would do well at all.
Yeah, that would be very funny.
Does Jeff remember like any one-time pre-merger? I don't think so.
That would be a fun game to play where, okay, so, you know, you just have a person like, Jeff, what is this person's name? Like, how many people, like, could he do it? Like, I think that would be not a fun game for Jeff to play. But he might surprise us.
Yeah.
Do you
think
amazing.
Jeff knows who, like, I don't know. Does Jeff know who Brandon Bellinger is, for example?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I would know Brandon Bellinger if I saw him now. Who knows what he looks like?
I think if you ask Jeff, okay, could tell me, you know, five people from Guatemala, I'm not sure if he could do it.
Probably tell you Danny. I don't know if he would have been able to say Danny until, like, within the last few months.
Yeah, I think he'd get Danny, Stephanie, Bobby John. Maybe he'd get to Rafe and to Judd. Six might be tough. Six might be tough, but I think he definitely could get five.
I would take Jordan Kalish and the Jeff versus Jordan Survivor Guatemala trivia face-off.
So also at the Cele tribe that we got to see, actually, I'm sorry, it's New Dakal. So Amanda, did you see any secret scenes this week?
I didn't see the secret scenes this
week.
Oh,
okay.
So please fill me in.
Tony's Ladder makes a return, and Jeremy gets the opportunity to see Tony's Ladder. He does not think that is up to the firefighter code. He does not think that ladder would be very useful if there was a burning building.
Well, he would know. I would trust Jeremy's ladder appraisal skills.
Yeah. So, speaking of Tony, at the New Dakal, that he's trying to convince Kim to go along as one of the lions versus the hyenas. I noticed something in Tony's sales pitch that he was trying to get Kim excited about working with him. This is very subtle, but this is what he says to her.
We're doing it, man.
I know. I feel like it.
Big 12, man.
He cites Big 12, man. Is that the new top five baby? Big 12, man?
I totally miss that. That's what he says, Big 12.
Yeah, he tells Kim that she could be in the Big 12.
Big 12, man.
Big 12, man.
Do you think, is he referring to the fact that the Big Ten is actually 12 schools?
I don't know. I don't know. But Jordan, is there a worse offer you could make to a potential ally than Big 12?
I mean, I guess Big 13. I mean, that's a pretty, you know, I'm sure he'll have no problem keeping to that Big 12 promise. But who does that leave out? Like, who's not in his Big 12 plans?
I don't know. We'd have to think about it. I guess so.
He hasn't even played with 12 people.
Hasn't even played with 12 people. So I guess that is the entire old DeKal.
It must be leaving out Denise and Jeremy, right?
Leaving out Denise and Jeremy. And then, I don't know, I guess there are four people from I guess they're going to vote out all the other people until the merge. Is that, could that be it?
I guess. I mean,
the top five
baby chant, we love it, yeah. But probably not the best move strategically because it did cause him to lose Sarah. Luckily, Cass did flip with them. But
this
is not as public, but a much worse promise.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no way that Kim is buying this in this scene. Like, I feel like Kim is great at being very cheerful and agreeable and emphatically nodding yes, but there's no way that she's at all into Tony's pitch here.
No, she's not into the Big 12. I think the Big 12 is, we vote out everybody from the other tribe and then we merge at 13 and we vote out the person who comes back from the edge of extinction. I think that's the Big 12. And then Kim's voted out after that.
It's like, Kim, you're one step ahead of whoever's at edge right now.
Yes, you get to go be the second person voted out after the merge if you're in the Big 12.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that Kim like probably told like Jonas and Jay Byers and Michael Jefferson, and they bought it though. They believed her. And they were like, yeah, Big 12, that sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds good. And then one final thing. So at the tribal council, the first couple times I watched it, I was very concerned about Sophie when she gets up to vote because, you know, I had just been talking to Big Tom last week, and it sounded like at some point, like Big Tom stood on the train tracks. I was very concerned about Big Tom getting hit by a train. last week, and I had the same concern for Sophie when she gets up at tribal council. Listen.
It is time to vote. Sophie, you're up.
Like, that was a very jarring effect from the music department.
I didn't even
notice the music is really kind of odd this season, right? I feel like they're doing a lot of these really dramatic music cues this season.
Yeah. So that's really jumped out of my seat. I was like, oh my God. Okay. All right. Let's start to get into everything with the Survivor social media. But first, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Noom. Noom is the habit change program that uses psychology to teach you how your mind works so you can understand why you make the decisions you make and feel empowered to change for good. Amanda, that I know that you are somebody who has been a Noom success story.
I am. I'm really excited to talk about Noom. So yeah, I used Noom a little over a year ago. I did a 4-month program with Noom, and I'm a clinical psychologist. So I recognize a lot of the empirically based psychological principles that the Noom app uses. It's really focused on helping you understand your eating habits and your exercise habits and helping you make plans to change your lifestyle in healthy ways. So I had a really great experience with it. I lost weight. I've kept it off, basically. It wasn't something that was really onerous. It was fun. So I had a great experience with Noom.
Yeah, they've got specific lessons that will help you with the psychology of your habits in the ease of just 10 minutes a day. And you'll work with a personalized coach who helps you understand yourself and your goals, working with your lifestyle. That Noom is forgiving because you're human. If you go off track, there's no shaming, just tips to help you get back on track tomorrow. Everybody is busy. That's why Noom doesn't demand that much of your time. They ask for only 10 minutes a day. Over 80% of Noomers finish the program and over 60% have stuck with their goals for at least 1 year. It's the perfect time to make a step towards healthy your habits. Sign up for your trial today at noom.com/Rob. That's noom.com/Rob. What do you have to lose? Visit noom.com/Rob to start your trial today. That's Noom, noom.com/Rob.
Tweets, baby, tweets. They should leave me elated. But things are kind of awkward because Tweets and I dated. Hey, Tweets.
Thank you to Jacob Sager Weinstein. Okay. All right. Boy, a lot of talk on the social media about Wendell and Michelle's relationship.
Yes. Well, this is exactly what social media was invented for.
Yeah. So there you go. All right. So I guess we could start off by checking in with Wendell Holland. He said, "Guess I'll release an official statement. Here goes nothing. We kicked it." That seemed like that was abundantly clear at this point. Right?
Yeah, he's sort of like doubling down on being awkward and weird about it, but I think he's trying to do it in a cute, ironic way.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So,
I mean, here's the thing with relationships, though. I mean, I've heard that before you succeed, you have to fail. So that's, I mean, I guess their relationship failed, but maybe now in the future they can succeed.
Okay.
Oh, are you predicting that they're going to get back together, Jordan?
Oh, no, that's not what I was predicting. I mean, I heard that on someone named Barb, who was on The Bachelor, gave me that advice. So that's what I'm going with.
Okay.
Was that this week? Was that only this week?
That was this week.
Wow. It's been a week. So then a lot of people have been really following the graphic design work of one Bryce Isaiah, another cast member of Survivor Philadelphia. Amanda, have you followed all of the Photoshop work that Bryce has been doing?
Oh, I've seen some of it, and it's really incredible. I mean, Bryce is probably the foremost Wendell expert, and this is he's done a fantastic job with this.
Yeah. So there's this one picture of Wendell from this episode, and Bryce has been like photoshopping Wendell into all these different scenes, putting him in line and at Target. How would you describe the expression on Wendell's face that is being photoshopped in these different places?
Yeah, so I mean, Wendell, he looks, I think, world weary, maybe like beleaguered. I don't know.
Yes. So, yeah. So Wendell looks worried.
It's a
worried.
Mood. It's
yeah.
a mood.
It's a move.
Have you played any of his where's Wendell games? Like, where's Waldo?
Yes,
that
that's what I was going to get to. Of that, now Bryce has taken this image of Wendell and now has put it into different Where's Waldo drawings, and you can play along on Bryce's Twitter account and see if you can find. I got to get my kids doing this. I'm going to start printing these yeah. out.
Yes,
I'm literally doing it right
now. Same thing. Yeah, it's great. Bryce, first of all, is there anything that Bryce can't do? I mean, it's amazing. But I think my kids would be into that as well. They like the Where's Waldo. And my son is watching Survivor with me, so he knows who Wendell is.
Yes. And he even got to my just kicking it idea of Michelle kicking the puzzle, just kicking it.
Yeah, that was really, I heard you summon that into the universe, and that was definitely something that needed to happen, and it was executed beautifully.
Yeah. All right. So
I found him. I found Wendell in one of the Where's
Wendell. I found Wendell in one of the pictures also. So be sure to check that out. All right. So Davey tweeted this week at iTweetDavey, LOL, B-Rob must be one hell of a chaperone on field trips. Yeah. He's not letting anything happen.
Yeah, as someone who's been a chaperone on school field trips before, it's not easy, and I commend his efforts. Unfortunately for him, and luckily for me, that the kids that I've supervised on field trips cannot vote me out of the field trip as much as maybe they would have wanted to.
Okay.
Yeah, that Yara scene though is like a little bit like what it looks like at my house right now with everybody
yes.
socially isolating.
Yes, that a lot of people have made that observation of everybody's house right now is like Boston Rob standing over you. And have you ever have fried Twinkies? Yeah. Yeah. What about you ever dunk Oreos?
We're running out of the conversation topic.
Yeah. Okay.
But speaking of Davey, I was wondering if anybody has made the observation that this week Kim caught an eel or something.
Oh, an eel or something. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, so let me get to my Davey sound clips. He must have caught an eel or something.
Guess what I caught, mother?
An eel's
an octopus.
Oh my god.
Yeah, actually, I thought that the Davy clip that might be more appropriate to play this week is...
You know, me being out here, I already feel like I'm a part of an apocalypse, which is my other dream.
Davy, dreams do come true.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
Davy, you this was your wish.
Davy works for the CDC, doesn't he? I think we need to get him on speed dial.
Yeah, we might need a special Davy cast soon. Yeah. All right. Hannah Shapiro.
The Where's Davy podcast?
Yeah. Hannah Shapiro, she tweeted, is there a place in the WeHo LA area that still has the Clorox disinfecting wipes? Thanks, interest in advance. And then she followed that up with, if anyone is willing to give me Clorox disinfecting wipes, I will give you the cell number of any Survivor player you want.
Oh my gosh. Things are really escalating. It's by the hour.
Yeah. So I have not gotten any phone numbers from any numbers that I don't recognize recently, but I'm not sure how high it would be on anybody's list. And then Hannah said, I want to make clear that this is a bit, because if I start giving out cell numbers, I'll be sent to the edge of extinction for the rest of my life. But yeah, what a creeper would say, hey, I have the wipes, but here, I need to know these survivors' personal cell phone numbers.
Desperate times.
Desperate times. Of course, that Randy Bailey, he was pumped up this week. He said, I've seen all 600 or so episodes of Survivor since the beginning. This might be my favorite episode. What a putz. Hashtag Survivor winners at war. Randy was happy.
Yeah, who's laughing now, Rob? Randy gets his comeuppance.
Randy Bailey was. And then Yul Kwan, of course, that he had the great scene with Sarah this week. And then he was out there trying to raise funds for Jonathan Penner and Stacey Title this week. He also tweeted out, if you'd like to provide direct financial support to at Survivor Penner and Stacey's family, i.e. help them with their crippling financial burden, you can give to them on their personal giving site at StaceyNJonathan.com. But Yul is really boy, is Yul the best friend anybody could have, Amanda?
I mean, that's amazing. I think it's so wonderful that that's what he's focusing on with this platform of going back on the show. You know, I think that now the whole community has probably, you know, gotten to know what's going on with Jonathan and his wife. And I've been following that on social media, and it's incredibly, I mean, it's incredibly powerful, their relationship and their love for one another and the, you know, tragedy of what she's been going through. But It's really amazing to see that Yul's, you know, what he's doing with his platform going back into Survivor, and that his friendship with Jonathan is so strong. And I saw that he, you know, he posted that, and then I think Hannah was also piggybacking on that, not offering cell phone numbers, but offering Skype calls to match people, or as an incentive for people who donate to ALS.
Okay. All right. And then one last thing. We have our RHA pollster. Rob has a pollster account up on Twitter that we tweet out a poll every single week. We asked the listeners this week, which version of Boston Rob have you enjoyed on your screen the most? Okay. It was actually close. They had six potential answers of the six times that Boston Rob has appeared on Survivor. It was actually very close. Jordan, could you guess which season was the leader with 24% of the vote?
I mean, I got to think it's between his two OG seasons, Marquesas and All-Stars. I think people actually preferred the fun Boston Rob that we got in Marquesas to the very controlling, very strategic Boston Rob that we got in All Stars. So I'm going to go with the Marquesa.
No, sorry.
Y'all are stupid.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, that was wrong. So Marquesas actually had the lowest percentage of the vote.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh wow.
That's 9%.
Wow. I was going to go with that one as well, Jordan. I was thinking along the same lines as you.
Yeah.
Man, so I think that it's probably down to heroes versus villains or all-stars.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, you know, people really like the Island of the Idols of Boston, Rob. I would guess heroes versus villains.
No, it was all-stars. 24% of the people polled said they liked all-stars the best. Heroes versus villains, second best, 22%. And then Winners at War this season, 21%. And then and then the other three were the bottom three of Redemption Island, 13%, Island of the Idols, 11%, and Marquesas, 9%.
I can't believe Island of the Idols beat out Marquesas Boston Rob. Because, look, was Boston Rob a great player on his first season? No, but he was a tremendous character. And I think people forget that because it was not his most successful season game-wise. But, I mean, even when you look at Redemption Island...
Well, you know, Jordan, you can't always trust the polls. Sometimes mm-hmm. the polls are wrong.
Okay. That's true.
All right. But you know what's never wrong? The This Week in Survivor History quiz! Never ever. Yes. Okay.
Never wrong.
All right, Jordan, you want to set this up?
I have four multiple choice questions for you. Each one is worth 2 points if you don't hear the multiple choice options. If you go for two and you're wrong, your opponent gets to steal a point. If you hear the multiple choice options, you get 1 point on a correct answer. Then we'll go to a final round in which both of you can get points. And I think that was maybe my most concise description of the Twitch rules to date.
Okay. Good job. And
so, yes.
Go for it.
So I for my categories today, I decided that what I've been doing this season is that the final round questions have been about the person who got voted out in Winners at War. I decided to flip it a little bit. So our four categories are the Marquesa, Redemption Island, Heroes versus Villains, and couldn't come up with an All-Stars question, so Palau for some reason.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I can't even try to summarize what just happened, Amanda. So
yes, I have four questions. Three of them are from Boston Rob's seasons, and right. one of them is from Palau for some reason.
Got it. And so do
because
do
you know how difficult it would be to come up with a trivia question about Boston Rob? There's so few times that he's even been on the show. It would be hard to write four questions about the history of Boston Rob.
It was not a big All-Stars episode for Boston Rob, which was the problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
So, Amanda, you get to choose the first category.
Okay. I will choose Redemption Island.
Okay. This is the episode Don't You Work For Me from March 9th, 2011, 9 years ago Monday. The Christina Kell boot episode was the only tribal council of the entire season in which Boston Rob did not vote for the person who was voted out. Who did he vote for at this tribal?
Okay. So let me see. So Christina Kell went home is what you just said. And he didn't vote for her. He voted for somebody else on that tribe. And I'm going to take the choices.
Okay. Was it A, Andrea Belke, B, Ashley Underwood, C, Natalie Tenorelli, D, Philip Shepherd?
So I don't think he ever voted for Natalie or Ashley, and I don't think that he voted for Andrea at this vote. So I'm going to say it was Philip.
It was Philip. That is correct. It was still in the very early phases of the of their relationship building from what started off as a pretty rocky relationship. But yes, Philip Shepherd was just in case Christina Kell had played an idol there. Philip Shepherd would have been the one to go home. So you get 1 point there. And Rob, you get to choose the next question.
OK, the categories are what are the other seasons? It's.
The Marquesa, Heroes versus Villains, and couldn't come up with an All-Stars question, so Palau for some reason. Okay, Heroes versus Villains. This is the episode Knights of the Round Table from March 11th, 2010, 10 years ago Wednesday. Who was the only remaining member of the Villains tribe not to participate in Coach's Dragon Slayer Chi?
Let me hear the choices.
Was it A, Russell Hance, B, Boston Rob, C, Courtney Yates, D, Sandra Diaz-Twine?
I'll say it was Russell.
Russell Hans is correct. He was off looking for the idol, which did not sit very well with Boston Rob. So we have a 1-1 tie. And Amanda, we have two questions left. We have the Marquesa and we have Palau.
I'll take my chances with Palau.
Okay, so we are going to the episode Sumo at Sea from March 10th, 2005, 15 years ago Tuesday. Angie Jacuz was the fifth player voted out of the Oolong tribe. However, she only received two votes on the initial reading. Who else received two votes, causing a tie and therefore a revote?
Oh my God. Yeah, give me the choices on this one.
Was it A, Ibrahim Rahman, B, Bobby John Drinkard, C, James Miller, D, Stephanie LaGrosa?
Okay, so we're saying it was a tie between Angie and you said Ibrahim, Stephanie, Bobby John, and who was the other one?
Ibrahim, Stephanie, Bobby John, and James.
Was it Ibrahim?
It was actually Bobby John. So you do not get a point on that question, but Rob is not able to steal. That was kind of a weird vote because there were five people left on the tribe. There was one rogue vote. Ibrahim actually voted for James. Stephanie and Angie voted for Bobby John, and then Bobby John and James voted for Angie, and everyone voted for Angie on the revote. So you don't get a point there. You are still tied 1-1 with Rob, but Rob has a chance to get some more points on this final multiple choice question. We're going to the Marquesa. The episode is No Pain, No Gain from March 13th, 2002, 18 years ago Friday. Besides Hunter Ellis, who on Mara'amu did not vote for the future star of the Atomic Lighter commercial in what was the first real blindside orchestrated by Boston Rob in his Survivor career?
So I believe it had to have been Gina Cruz.
It was Gina Cruz. You get 2 points there and you take a 3-1 lead. Yeah, Gina Cruz was the only person there who was not in part of Rob's plan to get rid of Hunter. So we are now going to the final round. Rob has a 2-point lead. Amanda,
that was
you can
definitely
catch
easier
up.
Than still... what was going on with Ibrahim.
Yes, that was easier than the pull-out question for sure.
Yeah,
we're going to a game. It is true or false. Very simple. You're answering true or false for any of these questions from this week in Survivor history. Amanda, since you are trailing, you're going to go first, and you need to pick a number from 1-4.
2.
Okay. Yao Man paraphrased Shakespeare when he said, "Love many, trust few, do wrong to none," which was used by Survivor as the episode title. Is that true or false?
Now, can I just ask a question here about I thought that this season, hey, we are changing the final round because Danny got voted out. We're going to do all questions about Guatemala. This week, arguably, the biggest Survivor legend of all time gets voted out, and we're talking about Yao Man now in the final round.
Yeah, that's because I did it for the multiple choice part, which is more of the quiz.
Okay,
I just switched.
I'm just trying to keep up.
It wasn't just because Danny got voted out. Natalie and Amber also had their own
other
final
week. I thought it had been you changed the format this season.
Yeah, no, don't question his process, Rob.
Yeah, I'm just trying to wonder what it is. You know, I have other podcasts where we have a whole constitution of rules.
Should we do a
constitution? If we do a constitution, should it be its own podcast or should it just be in like the social media segment?
Yeah, social media.
I just have a question because there's multiple parts of that. Is it true false? Was this the title of the episode or was it the true false that Yao Man said it or that it's Shakespeare?
It's the whole. Forget about the Shakespeare. It is Shakespeare. Don't worry about the Shakespeare. That's not what I'm quizzing you on. Yao Man said, "Love many, trust few, do wrong to none," which was used by Survivor as the episode title. So, did he say this, and was it used as the episode title?
But those are two things that could be true or false. So, I'm going to say true.
True is correct. So you get a point. Okay. Rob has a 3-2 lead.
Welcome
Rob, you get
to
the,
this
next, the next
minefield, Amanda.
Look, this one is also, Rob gets a two-part thing too with multiple things in the statement. Okay. So here's the statement. The only, and this is now from Survivor One World, the only women who swapped to the new Monono tribe were Alicia Rosa, Christina Cha, and Monica Culpepper.
Okay. The only women who swapped to the new tribe were Alicia, Monica, and who was the other person?
Christina Cha.
And Christina Cha. Okay, so I guess my question is where was Kat? And then it was also Colton. I'm going to say that was true.
True is correct. Yes, those were the only three women to swap over to the other tribe. You have a 4-2 lead. And yeah, that was where Monica's the first person to get voted out after the swap. Christina is the only one who votes with Monica. And then Alicia and Colton are very mean to Christina. So, yeah. Dr. Amanda, next question. And we are going to Game Changers. Aubrey was the only player not to vote for Tony, besides Tony himself, at the tribal council in which he was voted out of Game Changers. Is that true or false?
Oh, let me see. So this is the second vote. Is that true or false? I'm going to say that's false.
That is false. Aubrey actually did vote for Tony. Sandra voted for Aubrey. So you get a point there. It is 4-3. Unfortunately, if you're doing the math, even whether you get that question right or wrong, you could not have won the quiz. But Rob, you will get the final question here. In the last tribal council before the merge, Terry Dietz was exiled and therefore couldn't cast a vote when his good friend astronaut Dan Barry went home. Is that true or false?
Sounds about right. I'll say true.
It was actually false. When Sally was the one who was exiled, and Terry did vote for Dan. So, Rob, you win the quiz 4-3, but another close week.
Great job, Rob. Okay. Bravo.
All right. So, that was like for fun. Then I should have won at that.
Right.
Yeah, but I want to keep going.
We're having so much fun with the Twitch quiz.
I can't leave my apartment, so I don't know what else we're going to do.
I guess so, for everybody. That was for the listeners. All right. So, Jordan, you have any questions for Amanda about her Twitter following?
I do. Oh, Amanda, yeah. Who's the first Survivor winner you followed on Twitter? We already found out from your last appearance that Rob is the first Survivor you follow on Twitter.
Yes. And then I think that the second Survivor I was following was like Russell Hance or something. But
he was up there. Yes, he was very early for you.
So the first winner first winner. I want to say it was either Boston Rob or maybe Cochran. I'm going to say Boston Rob.
You should have actually gone with at John M. Cochran, who maybe got your follow after he plugged his Twitter account on the finale.
That's absolutely when it would have happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a good move.
Okay. All right. So we've been talking about everything going on with Survivor, but Amanda, that I felt like that it was a good idea to take you up on your offer to talk about some of the ways that, you know, that a lot of people are dealing with a lot of anxiety and mental health stress as we're all in this thing together, trying to battle with the shutdown and the isolation with trying to beat COVID-19. So do you have any sort of like tips or advice that you want to give to people that might be listening and might be especially anxious right now?
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks, Rob. So, I mean, I'm not a medical doctor, and I'm glad that you're going to have that area fully covered later this week. But there are a lot of mental health risks that might be coming up for people during this challenging time, in addition to just anxiety over what's going on in the world. These recommendations for social distancing can lead to isolation, which can trigger feelings of depression. So there's a couple of things that I just wanted to say to the listeners while I had this platform. And the first of these is that you're not alone. A lot of people are dealing with these issues right now. So please feel empowered to reach out to your social networks and talk about this stuff. If you are currently in treatment for any mental health issues, you should try to look into whether you can continue that treatment remotely. A lot of therapists are willing to offer telephone sessions or web or Skype sessions, things like that. If you have medications, try to call your pharmacy and get 90-day supplies to make sure that you have everything that you need. And just take steps while you're planning for whatever disruption this is going to be to your life to continue to stay connected. You can stay informed about what's going on without being on Twitter all day, without reading the news. So definitely give yourself breaks. Try to keep a routine. Try to make times where you're going to check into with people that you love, and just make sure that you take care of yourself emotionally as well as physically, because this is, you know, going to be something that takes a toll on people, and we're all going to need to rely on each other, even if we can't be together in ways that we're used to. We're going to need to find other ways to do that. So there are some resources available, the CDC and SAMHSA and NAMI. Those are a couple of different the websites that you can look at that have some tips for stress and coping during this time. And so just definitely, if you feel like you're struggling, or even before you're struggling and you think you might be down the road, it's a good time to look into those things and be prepared.
Yeah. Thank you for all that. And I really do think it's very important. And, you know, I see it in myself and certainly in, you know, talking with Nicole, you know, it's very difficult to, you know, get off of social media right now because, you know, you want to stay on top of everything that's going on. But I do think that, you know, just looking at the same stuff over and over and over again, I think it's very important to get the news. But I think that getting everybody's opinions on the news at all times is not necessarily the best thing for everybody's mental health. So stay tuned to Twitch. We'll tell you about everything that's going on in the Survivor social media. And definitely you want to make sure that you stay on top of the facts from all of the experts. But it's not always, especially because everybody is cooped up right now, I don't think it's super helpful to be, you know, just constantly reading a stream of what everybody else is currently thinking at the moment.
Right, right. And just along those lines, you know, people are also in a lot of different circumstances in their lives, and not everybody's going to be able to follow the public health recommendations in the same way that you are. So, you know, some of the things I know people are trying to use their social media platforms to inform people of best practices, but let's also be kind to each other, because not everybody can not go to work, or you know, people are in different situations. So I think that we want to be positive on social media, and you know, and also just be moderate in taking breaks and giving ourselves you know, some space away from it as well.
Yeah, and if there's anything that I could add to this, I mean, I've mentioned it on the podcast before that I'm a phys ed teacher, and I actually just found out that my school is going to be closed starting tomorrow for a considerable amount of time, and there's a very good chance that I'll end up teaching remotely. So I have actually been researching different at home exercises for kids, for adults as well, because while I am going to be informing my students how they can stay active while at home, and these are indoor workouts that don't require any equipment and they require very limited space, it's very important for adults to stay active as well. And there's multiple resources on YouTube, different cardio, kickboxing, yoga, Zumba, stretches. It's important to stay flexible and active in any way possible. And also social distancing doesn't necessarily mean you have to stay in your house. It means you do want to avoid contact as much as possible with other people, but you can go outside. You can, if you have a yard, you can exercise outside. You can jog around your neighborhood. You can, you know, play ball with somebody. It's just, it doesn't mean you have to stay in your house, but if you are quarantined and you aren't, you know, you aren't able to leave your house, there are ways to stay active as well.
Careful with that ball.
And YouTube
though.
YouTube is a great, yes. Wash your hands.
Purell the ball.
Purell,
in between
make sure
throws.
That you're, yeah.
You know, in all seriousness, exactly. Though, Jordan, that do you know, will Coach be doing any virtual Dragon Slayer Chi courses during this time?
If he is, I'm on board. I'll do
either.
Yeah, yeah. Russell Hans will be off looking
Dragon
for an idol,
Slayer
but I'll
chi.
Be.
Yeah.
This is the perfect time to find the idol while everybody is home.
Yeah, and if when you watch the Hanses online, sometimes they get head tattoos. So you got everyone else exercises. The Hanses could get tattoos of a big wolf on their head. I wouldn't recommend that.
Yes, I saw that Russell recently had made a YouTube video about the coronavirus also and how it was going to affect the filming of Survivor 41 and 42. So he's on top of everything going on his YouTube channel.
And guess what? He's probably not going to be on it either one.
I don't know.
It's my main source of news.
News Network.
All right, let's start to wrap this up. Okay, Amanda, thank you so much for coming on here with us today. Of course, you could follow Amanda on Twitter. She's A Rabinow.
That's right. It's perfect. It just rolls off the tongue. It's almost as good as Lyrsa's Instagram handle. A R A B I N O W. Please follow me. You can talk to me about Survivor or brain injury rehab, and I'd love to talk to you.
Yes. Okay. And of course, Jordan Kalish. I saw no watch party this week, but you can still reach out to Jordan Kalish on Twitter.
Yeah, looking for people to talk to in these times. So yeah, definitely reach out to me on social media if you are someone who was planning on attending the watch party. They'll happen again. Not this week, and possibly we'll announce when they are happening again.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Of course, we are, have a patron community also that Amanda started a wonderful thread of a bunch of people just talking about what's going on in their worlds. It's kind of stuff that makes me so proud of this patron community that we've built. We've got a ton of patron podcasts as well going on right now. So if you're looking for any extra content, a great place to go to check it out is robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thank you guys so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.